G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode 8 of Eric to the Diary Room. EricToTheDiaryRoom.com, where you can find out about what I've talked about in previous shows, and a lot more coming to you again from the mobile diary room on my way to my place of employment. Before we start, a big thank you to Captain Jeff from the Airline Pilot Guy podcast. I've been recording on the Boss Jock application after I heard him use it to great effect in a similar sort of situation on his podcast. I went out, purchased the app, I've been playing around with it, and thanks to some troubleshooting from him and also me working out the software, I've been able to figure out the behind-the-scenes bits that you don't see, like getting the file from my phone, how I'm recording now, to the computer. And also, thank you to the guys from Boss Jock. I just was having a conversation between myself and Captain Jeff, and then also putting things on Twitter like, why is this so, Boss Jock? And without necessarily directing it at their social media account, and they got back to me and helped me out. So that was really awesome, figuring things out now, and hopefully my feedback might actually help make the app better, who knows. Anywho, on the last episode that I cut rather short because I needed to get to the petrol station, it's a beautiful sunny afternoon in Sydney, Australia. I'd be interested to know where you're actually listening to this at the time, what you're doing, when you're doing it. Been recording the episodes pretty much one after the other. I won't be releasing them one after the other, but I'd be keen to know what you're doing and how you're actually listening to this and if you're enjoying the content. On the last episode that I cut short because I needed to go to the petrol station and I wasn't going to drive around and around and around with the fuel light on to finish my point, I've been talking over the last couple of episodes about my favourite movies, because this is what this show is. It's about me talking about what I'm watching on TV, movies, entertainment, music, all of that sort of thing, and hearing from you about what you're watching. You might introduce me to something, I might introduce you to something, and it's, I hate to borrow phrases from other podcasters, but I think Colin sort of nailed it from the Ouroboros podcast, and also now his new movie podcast as well, where he says on Raw Footage, his movie podcast, he says it's a stream of consciousness podcast, and this is pretty much what it is, except for me, I haven't just come from a movie. I'm in my car, my mobile diary room, to and from my place of employment, just telling you what I'm thinking about when it comes to TV, movies, entertainment, etc. Now, you'll remember in the last episode, I was talking about cop movies, and I remembered the Australian comedy Bad Eggs. And then I was getting ready for work, putting the schoolboy uniform on. I'm a train driver here in Sydney, for anyone who doesn't know me that well. Getting ready to go to work, and I was looking towards my shelves of DVDs. Now, I probably don't have as many as my friend Danny does from Melbourne. Hi, Danny, if you're listening. She's probably got way more DVDs than I do. But I was sort of looking towards my DVDs as I was getting ready. I'm like, yeah, there's some good movies here that I haven't mentioned yet, that I could have mentioned earlier, but I haven't. There's a few of them. A great example of that is Shaun of the Dead, and the movie which sort of got me into Shaun of the Dead in the first place, Hot Fuzz. Now, Hot Fuzz is another cop movie, and it sort of reminds me, if you've ever seen the British police drama The Bill, or something like that, it's initially set in the London area, and you think, when you first start off, it's very serious, it's you know, this guy is like super cop. If you had 10 million of these guys patrolling the streets of London, it'd have absolutely no crime whatsoever. But the force are embarrassed by him because he's making them look bad and making their stats go through the roof. And anyone who's had anything to do with things like law enforcement and that sort of stuff know that statistics are basically, in many ways, the be-all and end-all, whether it be a train company, an airline, a police force, or whatever. Things like your on-time running, or your arrest stats, your cancellation stats, all that sort of stuff, they're all benchmarks, and what here in Australia, at least, they usually call KPIs, key performance indicators. And so the main cop that they're focusing on, he is absolutely outperforming the rest of them. He's like the ultimate super cop. So in order to improve their stats, they decide to ship him off into the English countryside. And so, of course, super cop being super cop, you know, does whatever super cop does. Super cop does whatever super cop does. You know, what is it with me and Spider Pig? Seriously, talk about that maybe shortly too. So he tries and does what he does best, but you know, the rest of the guys on his force, they're in the country, it's laid back, not a lot happens there, or so you'd see, or so you'd think. You know, when he moves to the country, he notices that things are happening that the local cops haven't noticed, probably because they're too busy eating donuts. You know, cop cliche number one, you know, cops eat donuts. Yeah, we know, we get it. So hilarity ensues. They have some absolutely wicked scenes in the movie. Won't spoil it too much, but it's an... First of all, as I said, you'd think it was just a police procedural, but then it goes into full-blown police comedy, which is absolutely awesome. And Shaun of the Dead, let me say, I'm not a massive horror fan. You know, there's some people who are really, like, into their zombies and their ninjas and all of that sort of stuff, which leads me to another one, movie which I'll talk about in just a second. Yeah, I'm not a massive horror fan, but I really enjoyed Shaun of the Dead, and if you were a bigger horror fan than what I am, you'd probably understand more of the references that the movie makes than I do. Having said that, of course, as I was talking about on a couple of episodes, different people get different things out of movies according to their age and their experiences and what they find as funny. So I really love Shaun of the Dead, and if there's a, you know, if zombies come down to get us, where do you go? You go to the local pub, of course you do. But some very, very funny stuff. Shaun of the Dead there. Really, really cool movie. And that brought me on to a movie which I found out about when I was actually in the United States in 2009. And it's Ninjas vs. Zombies. When it comes down to it, it didn't get a wide release. In America, at best, it's not a Hollywood blockbuster. It's more of an independent film. I wouldn't call it art house, but it's definitely an independent movie. Ninjas vs. Zombies. Who would win? You know, it's for its budget and everything like that. It's a good story, answering a question that you may or may or not have thought of. You know, ninjas versus zombies, and in the end, who wins? Well, I'm not going to tell you who wins. You might have trouble actually finding this movie. It's from 2008, 2009. I actually spoke to the guys behind the film in 2009. I saw them at a convention, BalticCon, for anyone who's playing along at home, and I got a copy of the movie and I watched it, and it was cool. And you know, it's a good movie to watch along with Shaun of the Dead, actually. You know, just average people being average people, and then people turn into zombies, and so the ninjas go out and try and defeat the zombies, and you'll have to see what happened. Again, there's probably references that I didn't get because I'm not a massive horror fan. But if you are a massive horror fan, I dare say that you would probably get more out of Ninjas vs. Zombies and also Shaun of the Dead than what I did. But two great movies anyway. Speaking of my 2009 trip to the US, for those of you who don't know, who haven't been listening to my Talk Podcast, ErgPod, which you could also find at Channel Erg, channelerg.com, I went around America for basically 3 months in 2009, and of course, one of the places that I ended up in was Vegas. Now, I'm not a gambling man by any stretch of the imagination. I rarely play card games. You know, the limit to my card game ability is probably blackjack and the occasional bit of poker. But, you know, I'm not one of these people who are really into gambling and card games and casinos and all that sort of stuff. So I went to Vegas towards the end of the trip. I was tired, I was feeling a bit ill. It was 50 million degrees in Vegas. I stayed at the Stratosphere, and that was quite cool. And I went round, I didn't do any gambling or anything like that. I actually probably spent more time in the shops attached to the casinos and the restaurants attached to the casinos rather than the actual casinos themselves. Just walking up and down the strip's fascinating. If you're ever in Reno, I recommend you go to the Circus there. I'm not sure of the current status of the Circus in Vegas, but yeah, really enjoyed the Circus in Reno. It's a casino, but they also have live circus acts around the casino at various times, so that is rather cool. So you can imagine, I've, you know, driven up the west coast into Canada, almost got arrested, ask me about that sometime. Back across to the east coast, and then back to the west coast via the south, via Texas, and then up to Vegas, and then back down to LA before flying home. So by the time I've hit Vegas, it's been a long trip. You know, the money's dwindling down to, you know, basically zero. I'm looking forward to getting home. I got a bit ill on the trip over from the west coast. Texas was extremely hot. Vegas was extremely hot. And so you can imagine how I'm feeling. I'm home back here in Sydney, meeting up with various people that I hadn't seen for a while, just relaxing before I have to go back to my place of employment. And then one day, you know, I'm meeting up with a friend of mine, and, you know, we had dinner in town, and it's like, oh, what do you want to do now? It's like, yeah, let's go catch a movie. And I didn't really have any idea what was on, which leads me to another story that I'll tell you in a minute. And so we're like, yeah, let's go catch a movie. Oh, I've heard good things about The Hangover, let's go see that. So I had no idea what I was walking into when I walked into The Hangover. We're in this cinema, and then up on the screen you see various shots of various landmarks in Vegas, and I'm thinking, wow, I was just there 3 weeks ago and they've captured it so well on screen. Some very, very funny humour, which, you know, is shocking the first couple of times that you see it, especially the first time you see it in a cinema, in a sort of a mixed hipster sort of a crowd. Some of the scenes were absolutely unbelievable. Very physical, very visual sort of comedy, not necessarily children's comedy, very, very adult comedy, but you can imagine everyone's heard the phrase, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and this is absolutely the case with The Hangover. If you're not sure of the movie, if you've never seen it before, and you like your humour, go and see it. It's basically the story of a Bucks night when they go to Vegas to celebrate and have a basically Bucks night where, you know, a guy's about to get married. But, you know, there's various people on the trip, and for instance, one of the guys hasn't told his partner that he's actually going to Vegas. They've just said that they're going to some golf resort somewhere or similar. And then they have a big problem where the groom disappears. The groom-to-be disappears in Vegas. And then they try and reconstruct their night based on what evidence, physical and otherwise, that they have. And there's a lot of hijinks that ensue. Now, when it comes to the sequel, The Hangover 2, so did not bother with that. I have not watched that movie. I'm not intending to watch that movie. I think The Hangover was a special movie. It's a movie that you can see, and you see it and it's great, but you don't want to see 50 million of them, because, you know, it's just going to turn into the same story over and over again. That's one problem that the American Pie series has had. At the moment, they're advertising here in Australia for the latest version of American Pie on DVD, American Pie Reunion. And yeah, I guess it had to happen. But the first two movies were good. I didn't really pay much attention after that, or maybe the third movie. Yeah, we get it. Jim's sexually awkward. Jim's dad's sexually awkward. Awkward. Stifler's mum's a MILF. The girls are hot. Yeah, we get all that. But that's all pretty much what happened, so not much to say about the latter American Pies. And yeah, some girl went to band camp, we know. Talk about a one-trick pony. So The Hangover, good. American Pie, the early one's good, because that's the thing, they were shocking to start off with, but the more you see it, and the more sequels that happen, the less shocking, basically, that it gets. And so that is the drama that you, that is a problem that you can have with sequels. Speaking of sequels, this is partly related to my music podcast, and specifically my Measurable podcast, AKFM Measurable Monday. And there's a band which I describe as metal combined with nerdcore, who are called NASJAP. Not another sequel, just another prequel. And they're really into things like the Terminator movies, Back to the Future, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, all of that sort of good stuff. And so they have a lot of cool songs. One of their cooler songs, and I actually wish that I had it loaded up, was 8-Bit Superhero. I wonder if I've actually got the CD in my car. This will be an interesting experiment for Boss Jock, because I don't have the song loaded up, ready to go, just to say, hey, here's the song I'm talking about, boom. But that's the problem, because while I've got a lot of these movies in my head, I don't necessarily know when I'm going to talk about them. But I was interviewing half a NASJAP the other night. You'll be able to hear the interview as part of OKFM Metal Monday episode 49 at OKFMMetalMonday.com. And considering that one of their t-shirts is a mixture of Back to the Future and the Terminator, I asked the two members of the band, their vocalist and their drummer, I said, okay, answer me this. Oh, hang on, that's another podcast. AC and Aaron, answer me this. Which one of the... Oh, I'm about to get my nose shortened by a truck if I'm not careful. Situational awareness for the win. Which one of the Back to the Future movies is better? And I actually can remember ages ago, we had a pretty big debate about this on Twitter. Out of the three Back to the Future movies, which one do you like the best? And there's, well, obviously there's three movies, so there's going to be three schools of thought. A lot of people are like, wow, the first movie was really amazing, and then the second two were just copies after that. And then you have my school of thought, where you say, yeah, the first one was awesome, but the second one was better because of how they actually went so far into the future and how awesome the future looks. You know, with your flying cars and your shoes that do up themselves, those hover skateboards and the classic scene, McFry, you're fired! You know, video conferencing and all of that sort of stuff. And then for some reason, Marty McFly's dad, or was it? No, it was Marty McFly himself in the future from memory. They're having a teleconference and it's like, you're fired! And then for some reason in the future, they've still got fax machines and it comes out of the fax machine as well. You're fired! But yeah, that was probably my favourite Back to the Future movie. And then there was the third one, which despite having a train in it, wasn't necessarily my favourite. I'm not a massive fan of the Wild West and cowboy movies and all of that sort of stuff. So maybe that's partly why, but yeah, really a big fan of the second movie in particular. So for me, it probably goes 2-1-3 in that order from highest to lowest, 2-1-3. And so I said to AC, the vocalist, like, dude, what's your favourite Back to the Future movie? And he says, oh, Back to the Future 2. And I'm like, yeah, I'm so with you on that. And so I said to the drummer, dude, what's your favourite out of the trilogy? And he's like, I've got a bit of a confession to make, but I haven't actually watched all three movies yet. It's like, no! Are you serious? That's one of the things your band is based on. You know, I know you're a drummer and all of that sort of stuff, but, you know, you'd think that in that sort of band you've watched all three movies, but he hasn't, so I wonder if he's actually going to go out now, or the band are going to make him sit down and watch all three movies in a row. Who knows? I seem to open a can of worms every time I talk to that band, but they're fun guys, and if you're into that sort of music, their music is cool. Yeah, absolutely cool stuff. So, Back to the Future 2, absolutely love it. When you think about what the future is, or what the present is compared to what the future was presented on Back to the Future 2, yeah, it's a little bit of a disappointment. I could handle being in a flying car right now, but yeah, all good when you come to think about it. So many movies to talk about, and I probably won't finish talking about all of them on this episode. Just out of curiosity, what's your favourite movie? Oh, so many favourite movies to talk about. I've talked about a lot of them already. Every time I get ready to go to work now, I'm probably going to be looking at my DVD collection and thinking, yeah, I could talk about I could talk about that movie for sure. There are some movies that have sort of come from somewhat unlikely sources that have actually turned into movies in their own right. There's two TV shows that have turned into movies that are really, really awesome. If you know me well, you'll know that I'm a fan of both The Simpsons and South Park. I've been watching them on and off pretty much since both shows started. One of my nicknames at one stage, my first name is Eric, for those of you who don't know, and so I actually signed up for my very first web domain URL with the name Eric Cartman, because when I got onto the interweb about 1998-1999, you think there was paranoia now about privacy and everything like that. Back then it was a lot worse. It'd be like, you should never put your real name anywhere on the internet. And back then, compared to now, ordering things online was basically unheard of. So you could do a lot of things. Like if you were signing up for things like, remember Yahoo Mail or Hotmail? I know some people still use Hotmail today. Yahoo not so much, but if you had to put in the name, you wouldn't put in your real one. So I used to put in Eric Cartman as one of mine, as a classic example. For me, and people who know me, know that I often throw up a Simpsons quote or a South Park reference for almost every situation. And I'd watched the series on TV for many years. I'd gone out and brought the DVDs, and overall I have enjoyed them. There have been, of course, with most shows, there's some episodes where you go, that wasn't as good as what they normally do. You know, it might focus on a character you don't particularly like. Season 13 of South Park wasn't the funniest season. I think it was season 15 I purchased the other day. And then you get episodes that you continually reference, like the Chicken Lover episode, where Cartman becomes a cop. There's the sexual harassment panda episode. And then there's other episodes which I love, or parts of episodes, like 3D Homer, where Homer goes into the third dimension. Oh, I was so bulgy! And I stick way out in front? Yeah. Ooh, this is the worst place yet! And probably, worst Homer ever! You know, comic book guy, absolute genius, I love that guy. I posted on Facebook the other day. I had a massage the other day, and this Chinese guy, he was causing me so much pain, and I was screaming out and everything, and a female masseuse actually came in and translated and told him to lighten up a little bit. And so I've gone on Facebook and I've typed, worst massage ever, and then someone would say something back to me, was it because you didn't get a happy ending, or you gotta specify if you want a soft massage or not. And so I just replied to them with, worst massage ever. And so if you don't watch The Simpsons and or South Park, you probably don't even know that they're Simpsons or South Park references that I'm making, but yeah, I know they are. But out of the two, the South Park movie came out first, South Park Bigger, Longer, Uncut. And if you're not a fan of the show, it's actually not a bad way to start out. It's all of the usual characters there. And basically the story is that the boys go and see the Terrence and Philip movie, and they come out swearing like troopers. Until that point, South Park had been pretty much bleeped every time that the kids, 8-year-old boys, said a swear word. But since then, oh boy, I think that someone actually counted the amount of profanities in that movie, and it was unbelievable the swear count. So basically the boys' mums, especially Kyle's mum, because, you know, Kyle's mum's a big bitch, she basically blames Canada for, you know, blame Canada. She blames Canada for the whole thing, and so somehow they managed to get the US to declare war on Canada. Like, here's an American that hasn't thought about engaging Canadians in war. Seriously, who hasn't thought of that possibility? But a really funny movie, not necessarily for everyone, and it changed South Park. It really took it up to the next level. And when it comes to the Simpsons movie, my God, the Simpsons movie, wow, simply wow. At some stages when I didn't know what was going to happen and was Springfield going to be, you know, blasted into smithereens. And then when Homer and Bart saved the day, oops, spoiler alert. Oh, the Simpsons movie's been out for how long now? You know, the hairs on the back of my neck were standing up. It was, and it was an acknowledgement that the Simpsons have grown up, in a way. Because ever since day one, you know, everything's basically stayed the same in the Springfield universe, with the exception of characters coming and going. When it comes down to it, you'd have people, they wouldn't grow old. Homer and Marge and Bart and Lisa and Maggie, they'd basically stay about the same age the entire time. And with the occasional exception, like the episode where Homer got a computer, the technology of the show really hasn't kept up with the technology of the, quote, unreal world, considering how long the, you know, how long the show had been made. It's almost as if one episode of The Simpsons equals one day, sort of thing, if you get what I mean. But in The Simpsons movie, they've all got cell phones and everything like that, and it just seems strange to see Homer pull a telephone out of his pocket and go, "Hello?" Worst Homer ever! just that sort of thing. Yeah, great movie. It was a really good experience to see The Simpsons on the big screen. Really, really did enjoy those two movies. Anywho, I'm going to have to cut this a bit short. I'm actually almost supposed to be at work, but I'm stuck in traffic, so I'm going to have to make a phone call to my place of employment. So I'd like to thank you for listening. I'll probably come up with more things to talk about in the next episode, needless to say. I'll try and mention everything that I've mentioned on this episode in the show notes that you can find at irktothediaryroom.com. If you're really into movies, and you've got a smartphone, you really need to have the Internet Movie Database app on your phone. That way, you know, I've been at work, you know, on a meal break or whatever, and people are watching a movie, it's like, oh, who's in this movie? You know, pull up the IMDb, oh yeah, you know, how long's this movie been out? And that sort of thing. So, that's a real good companion to have ready access to it just in case you need it. And that's probably what I'll end up doing. Linking up to the IMDb entries for each of these movies that I'm talking about, because they've got, you know, quotes and goofs and bloopers and all that sort of stuff about each of the movies. Especially for some of the movies, like some of the Australian movies I might be mentioning, people outside Australia might not have much of an idea. Anywho, I'm Erk, thanks for listening, I hope you've enjoyed it. Go to the show notes, erktothedryroom.com. You can leave a message there. You can write me a message on the show notes, as my buddy Shorto has done at least once. You can send me a voicemail. There's a link on the site for that, on the sidebar. You can do that. Or you can interact with me on the social networks, Twitter at ErkPod and Facebook. There's a link on the show notes. And again, I know I keep on saying it, but hopefully by the time you're listening to this, the show will be on iTunes. So thank you for listening. If you want to check out what else I'm up to, whether it be music or talk, check out channelerk.com for my other podcasts as well. Hi, Meg. Thank you very much for listening. I finally figured out something awesome to say at the end of the episode. No podcast and no Pepsi make Erk go something something. Until next time, I'm Erk. Thanks for listening, and good night into it.